I feel inspired this morning with what I feel is a pertinent and applicable message for the times that we're in, not just this congregation. This is not directed at anyone. It's for the people of God, as it seems like that fewer and fewer people are embracing the whole truth. And I want to encourage us this morning to embrace the whole truth of the Holy Scriptures. And I'd like to start in the first Kings, the 18th chapter. And we'll start in the 17th verse, and I may paraphrase just a little bit for the sake of time this morning. 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, and the 17th verse, and it said, "And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. And Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, How long shalt thou halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. And then he proceeded to propose a challenge. And he said to them that, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take two bullocks. We're going to build an altar. We're going to put fire on the or wood on the altar, but we're not going to bring fire to the altar. And we're going to call on the name of our gods. And whose ever God sends fire down to this altar that has no fire on it, then that will be our God. That will be the God that is the true God. And they said, it is well spoken. So that's the first time they had anything to say. They said, well, it's well spoken. So they thought a little bit about that. It's well spoken. And so Elijah then told them, he said, well, there's a whole lot more of you all than me, so you guys go first. You get to do this first. And so they got their bullocks and they got their altar and they put wood on it. And they began to call on the name of Baal in the morning. They started in the morning. And it said they called on Baal from morning even until noon, saying, Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar that they built. And it came to pass at noon. So Elijah at least gave him from morning till noon before he had anything to say to him. And now he began to mock them. He said, well, maybe you better cry aloud. Because he is a God, and either he's talking, or maybe he's pursuing something, or he's on a journey, or peradventure, maybe he's asleep and needs to be wakened. And so they took his advice and they cried louder. And they cut themselves. They cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances. Listen, not till the blood seeped, but until the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time they offered the evening sacrifice, there was neither voice, nor any answer, nor any that regarded. And so Elijah told them, he said, come unto me, come near. And they drew near. And he built back up the altar of the Lord, which had been broken down. And he took stones, 12 stones, and he built the altar about it. And he also built a trench around the altar. A big trench. And he put wood and the bullock on it, but then he did something that wasn't part of the deal up front. He said, now I want you to pour water over the top of the altar. I want you to soak the altar with water. Something that water and fire don't typically go together real well. But he said, fill it up. And do you remember what was happening at that time regarding water? Was there a lot of water to be had? It was drought time. And yet Elijah said, pour barrels of water. So they did. And he said, do it again. And they did. And he said, do it again. And they did. And by now the altar was drenched with water, and the trenches around it were filled with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering, the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near, and he said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and it consumed the wood, and it consumed the water, and it consumed the stones that were there, and it consumed the dust. This is the fire of God. I've never been able to burn rocks and dust or water. You can vaporize it. I don't think this water condensed and came back down to the earth. God's fire consumed all of it. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their face and they said, the Lord, He is the God, the Lord, He is the God. I have a simple message for each one of you here this morning. Although we are outnumbered in the world, and although we are outnumbered in the Christian world today, although we're outnumbered, as Elijah was, the teaching, the preaching, the Bible patterned lives that we espouse, the literal interpretation that we give to the Scriptures, it's right. Yes. That's right. It's right. It's not wrong. We're not off course. We don't have a dim view of things. We're not disillusioned. We're not taking it too far. We are serving the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. We're serving the God of Joshua, where the Lord said, don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left, but if you'll do all of my commandments, just exactly like I've given them, and don't turn either way, but go right down the center, there's much land for you. I have much land that I want to give you. Yes. We're serving the same God that has the same expectations. We're serving the God of Elijah, that served the God that sent the consuming fire down. We're serving the same God of the faithful ones, folks, that sat in these pews in this congregation this morning, that followed the Holy Scriptures just like they were presented and inspired by God. It's the same God, those that have sat here, faithful ones, that stuck with it all the way to the end, even though they were outnumbered. Even though there were many draws and temptations perhaps to do something different, they stayed the course and they finished the race and they made it in successfully. We're serving the same God. We have the same truth. And if we follow it, if you follow it, even if you feel like you're the only one like Elijah did, it will take you successfully across the finish line. Be settled this morning. Yes. Be strong. Be not moved away from living a life that is separate from the world. Live consistent with the Scriptures, all of the Scriptures that are here. We don't have any apology to make. No. We don't have to feel like that we have to go on the defense. The Lord said you're going to be outnumbered. We're told that. That's to be expected. That's not something that that needs to be a surprise to us, it's okay. This is the right way to go. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah. Ahab was a king of Israel. He was an evil king of Israel that did not follow the word of the Lord. He was 800-900 years before Christ. And Ahab came before Elijah and he said, "Are you the one that's causing all of this trouble?" And Elijah said, "I'm not the one that has caused trouble to Israel, but thou and thy father's house, you're the one that's causing trouble. Because why? Because you have forsaken the commandment of the Lord and thou hast followed Balaam." Elijah was willing to stand in the face of being outnumbered. He had all of these prophets out there, he had the king, he had the authority of the person over the land against him. And yet Elijah was willing to stand alone if he had to. He was willing to stand firm and say it like it was and stick with the truth. And he said, "I'm not the problem. Your way is the problem. Your way is the reason why you have problems coming in among your kingdom." And by the time evening arrived, after issuing a challenge to prove the supremacy of God, for these people that were serving other gods, they were at a dead end. There was no power. There was no deliverance. There was no fire. There was no noise. There was no answer. They were just hurt, bleeding, and empty. That is the state that they found themselves. Oh, exhilarating perhaps for a while. Perhaps for a while there were hundreds of people that were unified and said, "This is the right way." Maybe there were some that weren't sure. But then as they looked at the multitudes and said, "Yes, it's well said. Let's do that." Then the multitudes and the masses bought into this. And for all day long, perhaps, or for a while, yes, perhaps it was exhilarating. Perhaps it seemed like maybe this is something to buy into. But then night came. But then the evening came. You see, the problem is that man eventually runs out of steam. Temporal things in life eventually come to an end. Things that aren't of the Lord and of truth, it can sound really good. It can be presented really nicely, even religiously. But eventually evening comes. Eventually everything starts getting quiet because you can't continue to maintain energy around something that's no longer there. These poor folks were cut. And they were bleeding and they were hurt and there was no answer and there was no noise and their gods weren't answering. And then there they were. That's the problem with going away from the whole truth. Is that you begin to buy into something that has a void. You buy into something that might seem like it has legs for a while. But then the end of the day comes. Night comes. It is appointed that the man wants to die. And then the judgment. See, eventually the judgment comes. Eventually you have to face truth, whether you want to or not. Eventually, regardless of all the noise, and all of the numbers, and all of the jumping and leaping and presentation of something that might appeal to the flesh, eventually that's all going to die down. And then what? Now what? Well, what do we do then? When truth is absence? Well, Baal had never sent fire. Baal had never seen anything like that before. Why did they buy into that to the point of hurting themselves? They were deceived, perhaps. Perhaps they were caught up in the emotion of what was going on. And sadly, this is the way that it is with so many people today in the world, in the Christian world, in the world where you don't have to drive very far and you find churches on this corner and that corner and another corner, and you go in and you find out that the church has allowed other gods to come in besides the one true God. Other churches allow gods of entertainment and gods of fashion and gods of materialism and gods of the flesh and gods that are contrary to the whole truth. People let those gods come in, and yes, they also have the one true God. They speak of the one true God, and not that they don't have love for the one true God, but what happens is begins to steal away the rightful place that God, the one true God, wants to have in our hearts and in our lives and in the world around us. And I want to pause for a few minutes, and I want to speak to an important point. The various and the many churches that are around us today and are attended by many good people. People that perhaps are saved, that love the Lord. Maybe they don't know any different, and God loves them. But when we know the truth and we're exposed to the gospel, many of the churches that are around don't espouse the entire truth of the Lord. They began to let some of these truths go to the wayside, and fellowshipping wrong can lead to loss of your oil. The five foolish virgins, they got themselves in a place where they began to lose their oil. You began to fellowship places that espouse and promote and allow and fellowship things that are contrary to the Holy Scripture. It causes your oil to start to run out, however good your motives. You become disillusioned. You can become deceived. But here's the problem, and sometimes the deception is largely because there's a lot of good people out there. There's honest people. There's saved people. And the enemy would like nothing better than to try to cause people that have a greater understanding of truth to try to start to compare them with even other people that are saved but don't know any better, and try to bring you down to their level of understanding that is lower than the level that you have. But one of the problems is that leaders of other places and the nominal Christian world, they begin to allow wrong to come in, because if they don't, they're going to lose their numbers. They start to lose the cash flow that comes in, because the morals of society, they continue to go down. And if the churches around us, I'm not saying all churches are like that everywhere. There's still some holiness congregations of people that are endeavoring to live right. But so many of them that are out there, the leadership of those congregations and churches are making conscious decisions to let elements of truth go with no willingness to change. And it's causing a problem. It's causing a problem. And the poor people that are innocent and honest that are going to those congregations, and those that leave bits and pieces and parts of the whole truth off to the side, they might make good neighbors, but they're not the examples that God wants us to follow, because it's not truth. I want to just be specific this morning. So many of the churches today fellowship of pro-choice, of double marriage, of pagan idolatry, of alternative lifestyles, to say nothing of holiness standards, to say nothing of living a life and teaching a life that you can live above sin, but just those things I just mentioned, those gross sins that we could all quickly turn to and find thou shalt not. So many of the churches today fellowship these things. They allow them. They may not say we recommend them. They may not say, oh yes, that's good. They may say, well, it's better to avoid that. But to draw a line in the sand and be faithful to the people and the congregation and say, this is ungodly. It's unlike God. You can't continue to live in this state and meet the Lord in peace. They go silent, consciously, in these areas. Because they know that if they don't, they'll begin to lose their numbers. It didn't used to be this way. We have people that are old enough here that remember the days when lots of the churches out there, the things that I just mentioned, it wasn't a question on whether or not that was wrong. But today, to maintain the numbers, to accommodate people, it's allowed. The key is to keep the door closed to these things. Do you remember, and I didn't take the time, I don't have it written down here where, but do you remember the story that said that the man had swept the house and cleaned the house and garnished it, and the evil spirit went out and wandered around in the wilderness and then decided, oh, I want to go back to that house. And so it went back to the place that had been at one time clean. And this bad spirit was allowed to come in the house, but it said that it brought seven spirits more evil than the first with it. And I want to just warn you of this. When we consciously open the door and willingly allow and fellowship wrong and sin, we may say it's better that it's not there, but when we cross the line and decide we're going to let that thing in, I'm not talking about unknowingly. I'm not talking about unrighteousness that is not accounted to us as sin because the Lord hasn't revealed it to us yet. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about consciously, knowingly, understanding that this is truth, but now for all kinds of reasons, and man always has good reasons, I'm going to allow this in for the greater good. I want to tell you something. You don't get to decide what evil spirits come in the house. When you open up the door for one evil spirit, you don't get to say, okay, you evil spirit can come in, but I'd like the rest of y'all to stay outside. See, it doesn't work that way. When you decide you're going to let one thing in knowingly, you are ceding control away from the Holy Spirit, and you are now giving control to a spirit that is more powerful, more subtle, and out to get your soul. And they get to decide what all spirits that they want to bring in. May God help us not to be deceived. Do you remember at the time of the Passover, how much of the lamb did they have to eat? Portion of it? Throw out the parts they don't like? Well, I don't like the hindquarters. I like the dark meat better than the white meat. We'll let the white meat go. Is that what happened? How much did they eat? The whole thing. And he said, and if you can't eat the whole thing in this house, then get your neighbor over here. But the whole thing has to be consumed. That wasn't by accident. The Lord wants us to understand. He wants us to partake of the whole lamb. The whole plan of salvation. He shed His blood so that we might be saved and be washed in the blood and have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But He didn't. He didn't want us to then also say, well, we want to eat of the Lamb, but you know, tonight, instead of just unleavened bread and bitter, what was it, bitter herbs and spices and the Lamb, we'd like to have a little beef tonight. And we're going to bring in a little pork, and we're going to have some fruit on the side. And we'll still eat the Lamb, but we're also going to have all this, and you know, we're really full. We've been eating all this other stuff, and there's a part of the Lamb that doesn't sit as well with me. And well, my motive's right, and it wasn't that I wasn't going to eat it, but we got these other things that aren't necessarily wrong, and so to try to accommodate, we're just not going to be able to eat this piece of it. That's not the plan of salvation. Jesus came and He told His disciples, He said, if you're going to come after Me and meet My disciple, you're going to have to eat of My flesh and drink of My blood. Yes. If you want to come after Me, you got to buy into who I am. The whole thing. The flesh and the blood. And that's such a sad story because it said many of His disciples walked no longer with Him. Because they said it's a hard thing. I'll tell you what's harder. It's harder not to partake of it. The consequences of not partaking of it is what's harder. Yes, there's some sacrifice involved. Of course there is. And the Lord told us that there would be. But He came to bring a perfect plan. And sometimes the things that we feel are not good for us, that are not palatable, that we don't like, that don't taste very well. Many times those are the things that are exactly what it is that we need. May God help us not to be deceived. God is not coming back to judge us according to the morals of the land around us. The Lord's coming back to judge us according to the truth, the whole Bible doctrine. And in the fear of God this morning, I just want to warn you. As the last day approaches and more people fall away, oh, be careful about what you begin to fellowship, what you begin to buy into, because over time it can begin to desensitize you against sin and against wrong. It can begin to desensitize you to the voice of the Lord. And I want to make this little comment too. We are social creatures. Human beings are social creatures. And we need social interaction. All of us do. Some more than others. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I want to encourage you with this. Don't mix your need for entertainment with church worship. Because keep them separate. And let the Lord deal with you on the appropriateness of whatever entertainment it is you're involving yourself with. Some's good and some isn't. But always hold sacred your worship and your fellowship to Jesus Christ. Church worship isn't designed for entertainment. Church worship is intended to be a place where we can grow. And where we can hear the unadulterated, uncompromised, non-customized truth. So that we can have our soul fed. And so that when our name is called, and when our time comes to die, and when the evening has come, and when all of the flash and the glamour of life, and all of the well-spoken words, when all of it ceases, and it gets quiet, that we will have truth on hand to meet the Lord with. I don't want to be caught up with so many of these other fair-sounding things or begin to fellowship with those that consciously spit out pieces and parts of the truth. And it seems like today people are getting so good at almost, in an elegant manner, removing parts of truth and presenting it as something for good reason. I don't want to meet the Lord that way. May the Lord give us understanding in these things. as the last day approaches. After keeping the faith all day and watching the self-destruction of these people, Elijah then proceeded with great faith in rebuilding the altar of the Lord and putting the scarce water that was available on the altar. Can you imagine what would have happened if the fire didn't come down from heaven and consume that wasted water? These people needed water to drink. And Elijah just took barrels and barrels of water, scarce, precious resource, and dumped it onto the dirt and in the trenches and on the wood. Can you imagine what kind of shape Elijah would have been in if the fire didn't come down? Pretty soon all his prayers got done and they started looking around at the mud around them. And pretty soon they're going to look back at Elijah and say, "What in the world did you just do? We get that our God didn't answer, but neither did yours. And on top of that, you just wasted one of the most precious things available." I don't think it would have been a good day for Elijah. I think it might have been a rough day. Rough evening. Might have been the end of his life. But consider this. What happens in the world today? Please get all of this. What happens in the world today when the world uses scarce resources and valuables like time and opportunity and people's lives, and they get all the way to the end of the way and time has been wasted, opportunity has been wasted, people's lives have been wasted, and they're cut and they're bleeding and they're empty. And the gods haven't answered. And the fire hasn't come down. The story repeats itself every day. It's living out in front of us. What does the world do when that same thing happens? They do more of the same. They just continue to do the same thing. Saints, let's learn. Let's have our eyes opened and look around us and learn from what's happening to other people around us. The story continues to repeat itself. There's consequences that are associated of not following the whole and the entire truth. Shipwreck, broken homes, lack of fulfillment, lack of hope, lack of security. And sometimes when you get down close to death, lots of apprehension. Because you don't have anything on hand. No matter how loud the Christian world proclaims, here is a better way. Here is an easier way. No matter the numbers, it doesn't make it right and it doesn't make the fire come down. Those that live according to Bible scripture, the whole truth, give yourself to it even if you're the last man or woman standing. If we'll stand firm, God will deliver in a mighty way, just as He did for Elijah. But we have to be willing to resist the tide, resist the number, resist the voices, resist the call and the song of the sirens. You remember the story of Odysseus? Oh, the call of the sirens, a better way, relief. Rest to those that were sailing. And yet every single one of them who heeded the call, the seductive call of the sirens, lost their lives in shipwreck. All the sailors lost their lives. We're sailing today on a journey. And as we sail on our journey, we are going to hear voices that beckon us to come and find some relief from whatever it is the enemy tells you you're not able to handle. Here's an easier way. Here's a better way. Plug your ears to it. Restrain yourself from those temptations. Today, if you feel alone or you feel discouraged, or maybe you find yourself halting between two opinions, as we read earlier. Elijah said, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? If God be God, serve Him. If Baal's God, will serve Him. This morning, God is God. If you're halting between two opinions, or down, or discouraged, or you're not sure, We serve the God of gods today. And whatever sacrifice is associated with living a dependable, consistent life of Jesus Christ, it's going to pay dividends, high dividends in the end. This way is the way of truth. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is the God." This morning, we serve that God. He's the same God. Be settled. Be unmovable. Be strong in the faith. Be not moved away from the whole truth. God is still on His throne. He's still working. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And if we will resist the call to move away from the whole truth, we resist that. And we stay steadfast all the way to the end, regardless if we go alone, we'll make it through to the end in victory. Be encouraged this morning. Amen.